The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
One group that seems to have been somewhat forgotten about by the government, but not by the insurance companies, is the children's play sector. While they must continue to fork out thousands of euros for insurance, kids' parks and children's play centres are still left in the dark on when they can open their doors for business. I'm joined this morning by Tracy Sheridan, who is a member of Play, Activity and Leisure Ireland and owner of Kidspace in Rathcoole. And Tracy, obviously there's been a lot of I think, sympathy for your industry given what has happened to your insurance costs over the past while. That was before the pandemic came along. What impact has the pandemic had on you? How long have you been closed?
Hi, Anton. We've been closed since September 18th, which would have been the Dublin lockdown. So a lot of our members are closed since then, but some of them are even closed since March 12th last year, which is nearly 17 months. So we definitely have been the sector that has been closed the longest, and we're not really sure why. We thought we'd be opened on June 9th when the swimming pools and cinemas under entertainment like we were last year, but we weren't. So then we thought, okay, look, they're going to lob us in with the indoor dining and the pubs. We'll be open on July 5th, but no, they specifically told us to close. So we're under severe pressure. We really have to get open now because, you know, everyone's kind of over it at this stage. The landlords are looking for their full rent. Our staff, the majority have probably moved on and found work somewhere else. So something has to happen fast for us, or a lot of our members are not going to be able to reopen.
Presumably it will be tricky to restaff because I imagine there's health and safety qualifications that are needed. There's child protection qualifications that are needed. You can't get them at the drop of a hat.
No, you absolutely can't. And, you know, good staff are always hard to find, but particularly now. The only thing is, the bright side of that is that the vaccine rollout seems to have really picked up. We've got 16 plus and a lot of them after waiting in line and getting vaccines over the weekend. So I think, you know, I'm optimistic that we will be able to get staff. The real issue is being allowed to be open as soon as possible. And, you know, short of that, we need some serious supports to help us with the sheer amount of bills. As you mentioned, the insurance, our insurance costs are through the roof. We were expected to pay them the whole time we were closed. We've had no relief on that score. And to be honest, it's vital that we start to see those premiums start to come down because they absolutely should come down. The guidelines have been reduced. The most recent report from the central bank showed that the insurance companies are absolutely making a profit when it comes to public liability and employer liability. So it's vital that we start to see those premiums come down immediately.
How is it that you have had to continue to pay premiums when there isn't a service being provided? I mean, why do you need public liability insurance when you have no public to be liable to?
I suppose the truth is, Anton, there's only one option for us when it comes to insurance. And that's the case for many businesses, the lucky ones who have one option. But then you've got the likes of what's happening to some people where there's no option and there's no insurance. So we can't afford to not, you know, or to refuse to pay that insurance because we'll have no one to insure us when we do finally be allowed to reopen. It's just so important that the government start bringing new insurers in. You know, it is fair to say that Ireland was an absolute basket case when it came to insurance for a long time. But the reforms that have already happened and are due to happen are going to change that and make it a far more attractive place to do business. So it's vital that the government have to accelerate their plans to engage with insurers around the world and bring more insurers in here to offer some sort of competition.
I suppose, though, whether founded or not, there is probably a sense that there is a higher risk around play centres because you end up in a situation where kids will come into fairly aggressive physical contact with other kids that they mightn't meet. And at the same time, parents are likely to be close to each other indoors, all of which bodes badly for the virus.
To be honest, I don't know. Last summer when we were open, we had a maximum capacity. Now, it didn't totally make sense. You could have 50 people in 2,000 square foot and you could have the same 50 people in 10,000 square foot. But most of our premises are very big. They're extremely safe. We were able to operate social distance. We have lots of different play areas. We could have maximum amounts in them. So I don't think there really is anything to fear with COVID. And I think, to be honest, anybody who wants to be vaccinated at this stage can be. So I think, you know, protecting the vulnerable probably isn't as forced everyone's mind as it was this time last year. And I think the main issue with play centres when it comes to, you know, this idea of them being maybe difficult for insurance, I think the main issue really is the duty of care. And I think if that was dealt with correctly, if that was rebalanced to where it was applied like it should be, like it's supposed to be applied in a fair, reasonable, practical, proportionate manner in the public interest. There's nothing in the public interest to have, you know, a duty of care where owners are responsible for everything. Once you hold a public liability policy, you're responsible for absolutely everything. If someone falls over their own feet, you know, you're responsible for it. with absolutely no negligence on your part, but you are deemed responsible.
So if they had the kind of injury that they could have had just walking in the park because it's on your premises, it's your fault. Yes. What has been the government reaction? Because I assume that the Association Play Activity and Leisure Ireland has been shouting this at government representatives. What have you heard back?
Look, absolutely. Our CEO, Tommy Gill, is, you know, knocking on every door constantly, and they're telling us we need to shout a bit louder. I don't know how much louder we can shout. I don't know what we need to say, but we're doing our very best. Pally's making itself available to, you know, draw up guidelines that will keep them happy to allow us to open. But we're just not really getting any traction. We just seem to be forgotten. I just don't know what category they're putting us into or why. I think if we knew that, we knew what might make them happy to allow us to open. But I can't really understand why we're all closed.
And in that period of closure, how significant have government and state supports been? Because obviously for some industries, the state supports have actually left them that they are trading on paper almost as well, if not better, than they were before the pandemic hit. For others, it doesn't matter that there's government supports, they are still being decimated and worse. So where on that spectrum do you come?
I think we're probably at the decimated spectrum, unfortunately. I think if you've rent to pay, so if you're an owner occupier, it may be a little bit better. But if you have rent to pay, you know, the CRSS, now, I want to say we're absolutely grateful for the sports we did get. And I did understand the closures at the beginning, but now they've gone on too long and the sports are not enough. The CRSS doesn't go anywhere far enough to help pay the likes of rent, but also our huge insurance premiums. They're, you know, a reason why we wouldn't be able to manage on any sort of supports. I think any business out there, no matter, I suppose, what they tell you, I think would prefer to trade than live on supports from the government.
And what about that trading? The same question that I was asking to the guys who are running the, Lorraine running the restaurant and Tom with the pub. At what point does it become economically unviable for you to open if the numbers are sufficiently reduced? As in, is it worth your while opening your doors if you're only allowed to let in 20% of your maximum capacity?
I think, no, it's not, is the simple answer. But I think if they give us some sort of pathway to say it's only this many for this while and then we can increase it, I think that makes it worthwhile because we can invite our customers back in and we can start to remind them that we exist, I suppose. But there has to be a pathway out of it. It can't be like it was last year, you know, 50 people maximum, no matter what, including your staff, and then, you know, closure next week and then possibly reopen and closure again. That can't happen. But if they gave us some sort of plan or pathway out of it, then I think we could operate from a reduced capacity.
And are you all in exactly the same boat, or is there a big disparity depending on where the play centre is located?
Yeah, there's absolutely a disparity on where the play centre is located. There is a disparity for the businesses. Unlike us, I think we trade all year and probably trade in the rain better as we're indoor. But you've got members of Pally who desperately need that trading period over the summer and desperately depend on that good weather, which they've already missed. But they need that to carry them through the year. So they're really going to suffer. You know, whether, as I said, whether you own your premises or you rent your premises, that's going to be a big decider on how you manage. So no, we're not all in the same boat, but they all need to open as soon as.
We got a text in from Stephen in Glasnevin who agrees fairly vociferously with the point that you made. Hi, Anton. I realise that insurance is crazy expensive for anybody looking for liability insurance for children, but I can't dismiss the parents who are claiming for a scratch on their child's knee or elbow. If it continues, our children will have no adventure services. Tracy Sheridan, we'll keep our fingers crossed that you get to reopen and get back in business as quickly as is possible. Thank you very much for joining us in the programme this morning.